Chapter 94. Summer stood immobile as the three men moved closer. At her feet, Bannister clutched at his wounds, an uncomprehending look of shock etched in his face. Zakhar lowered his Uzi as he drew near, his attention focused on the galley.
"Gutsman will be pleased," he said in Arabic to his nearest associate,
the bearded gunman from the Dome of the Rock attack named Salam.
"What of these two?" Salam asked, aiming a small penlight at Summer and Bannister.
"Kill them and throw their bodies into the ocean," Zakhar replied, rubbing a hand over the ancient ship's hull.
Having understood the conversation, Bannister tried pulling himself across the ground, grunting in pain as he clawed his way behind Summer. Salam ignored him as he stepped close to Summer, then raised a pistol at her head.
"Run!"
Pitt's shout rang loudly from the deck of the galley, catching all of the Arabs by surprise. Summer watched the gunman in front of her glance toward the ship, his eyes instantly flaring in horror. Whistling through the air at him was a pilum, the iron-tipped Roman javelin. Salam had no chance to move before the razor-sharp spear stuck him in the chest. The finely crafted weapon cut a path completely through the man's torso, its tip exiting his back below the kidney. The stunned man spit out a mouthful of blood, then dropped to the ground, stone dead. In the moment that Salam was struck, Summer was already calculating her options. She instantly decided she could either lunge for the gunman's pistol, or run and dive into the water, or break for her father on the ship. The adrenaline was already surging through her veins, screaming for her brain to respond. But Summer let logic run its course before making a move. She quickly judged that the handgun would be no match for Zakhar's Uzi. And though her heart told her to run to her father, reason dictated that the water was much closer. Suppressing her emotional urges, she took a powerful step to her right and then leaped. The sound of gunfire was already ripping through the air when her outstretched hands broke the water's surface and the rest of her body tumbled in after. The slope of the sandbar dropped away sharply, and she plunged into the depths without breaking her neck. She instinctively swam down, following the slight current which carried her away from the cave's entrance. She was a strong swimmer to begin with, and her pumping adrenaline drove her deeper until her hand brushed the channel floor at a depth of 15 feet. The water was pitch black, so she tried to use the current to guide her forward, occasionally grazing against the walls of rock. She swam hard for a dozen strokes, driving smoothly through the water. When her air began to expire, she eased toward the surface, confident that she had put sufficient distance between herself and the gunman to catch a quick breath. With her lungs beginning to ache, she raised a fist over her head in the scuba diver's safe ascent pose and kicked toward the surface. She rose a dozen feet, and her upraised hand suddenly brushed against rock. An uneasy feeling crept over her as she groped along the hard surface. Slowly, she nosed her face up alongside her hand until her cheek was flush against the overhead rock, the water's current rippling against her face. Her pounding heart skipped a beat as she realized the water channel had turned into a submerged tunnel, and there was no air to be had.